You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 11 June, UK unemployment due 8 a.m. expected. Unchanged at 4.3%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Carmen Mepawani. I'm going to touch on this Alexander Forbes results. I got to say, in tough conditions, I thought they weren't bad. I mean, they're not knocking it out the park, but I mean, it's not looking quite good. Selim Gobelsamy from Omnia, year-end results. Revenue fell as commodity prices came down, but HEPS was flat and cash generation very strong. Zaf Mohammed from Oceana, results. Daybrook absolutely booming. That's the US operations. Lucky Star holding steady. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Store account holders unwittingly paying for insurance policies. Faiz Umbat receives a number of complaints against a clothing retailer, but doesn't name the retailer. Business Day, Alexander Forbes says two-pot retirement system is a game changer. Group believes the new retirement regime is a win-win for industry and consumers. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up a quarter of a percent, NASDAQ 0.4% higher. Over in the East, mostly red, Sydney down 0.6%, Tokyo up 0.3%, Hong Kong off 1.6% and Tencent 0.6% lower. Commodities mixed, gold 2,320, Brent 81.41, PGMs are red with platinum at 966 and palladium 900. Rand is 1878, Bitcoin 68,200, and top 40 opening call looking for about 75 points or 0.1% in the red.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Carmen Mepawani, independent analyst. Carmen, appreciate the early morning. I said in the intro there, and in fact, Alexander Forbes, or Alex Forbes as they call themselves, they call it a strong revenue growth. 12% in an economy that isn't growing, where typically the financial services need to be taking market share from each other. I thought not a bad set of numbers.
No, not bad at all. I mean, all the conversations we've had in the last while, it's probably one of the most positive we've seen. So that's definitely a good thing. I think, you know, you also can't diminish the impact of what management has been doing in terms of reconfiguring the whole group. Mm-hmm. It seems to be yielding the benefits for them, number one. As you've said, they've managed to improve profits. So HEPS for total operations up 29%. If you strip out the discontinued, goes down to about 16%, but still, you know, in double digits. So I definitely think that that is something to keep an eye on. They said that they still continue to consider acquisitive growth opportunities. So also to see what they'd add to the stable at this point. They did make about 6 acquisitions over the last 3 years, which is quite a bit, I would assume. Not large in terms of profit-wise, but definitely adding to that number. And I think you can't frown upon a company that not only increased its total dividend by 19%, but also declared a special divvy. So I think doing the right things, it seems to be grinding in the right direction. Definitely not numbers to frown upon. And we did see the market give them the thumbs up with the share price up at the end of the day about 4.8%.
Yeah, and I quick on that special dividend. I mean, you make the point they've been doing a lot of acquisitions, not giant ones, but good ones and well-positioned ones. And then they go and pay a special dividend, which tells me two things. A, cash flush, and B, management is confident on cash flow.
Precisely. I think, you know, when you look at how a management comes and addresses growth opportunities or growth concerns, mm-hmm. And they've been, as you said, it seems to be that they've been astute in terms of what they've added to the stable. Outvest was the focus on the technology or digitization side, and that seems to be tweaking where it needs to be tweaked, and therefore falling down to the bottom line quite significantly. At the end of the year, they had about just over 1 billion in surplus cash. So I think the correct thing and the correct signal to the market definitely is a special dividend if you are able to.
We'll leave it there. Comrade Mapuani, independent analyst. Appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Cillian Gobel, Sammy, CEO of Omnia. Results for year-end March saw revenue off 16%. HEPS was flat, net cash up 27%. Cillian, appreciate the time today. Agri saw strong sales, but profits lower. This is as fertilizer prices came under pressure, which I suppose is in many senses a return to normal and truthfully probably liked by the agri sector.
Yeah, Simon, thanks for having me. I think, you know, the first context we need to set is that commodity prices came down broadly 50%. Mm. So if you look at our revenue down 16%, it was a very strong, resilient performance by the business overall. And that was driven by higher volumes in Agri-SA, but more so by the diversification and growth in our mining business, you know, both on the African continent, but also globally. You know, we saw great growth from our mining business globally.
Yeah, really strong numbers out of mining. Are you winning customers here, or is this just your expansion, which has been playing out over a couple of years?
It's actually both. So I think, you know, we're very proud of how our mining team have managed that business over the years. So we've got, firstly, in our mining chemicals business, and new customers and growth there. Mm-hmm. You know, we also have new customers and growth from our production facilities and selling ammonia derivative products on a wholesale basis. And then, as you say, you know, our expansion plans in Indonesia have been delivering ahead of schedule. So profits coming through there and a little bit ahead of our plans. And our Canadian business has also moved from a heavy investment from a cost perspective into profitability. So overall, a strong performance in the mining sector, which then diversifies our earnings away from agri. But having said that, you know, the agri business has still made R1 billion worth of profit. You know, it's still a big business.
No, it's still a big business. And watching your results presentation, you talked around, and if I go back to the Omnia of old, it was very much sort of cyclical with commodity prices. You talk around how you've actually managed to sort of de-risk the business to remove that cyclicality and bring about a significant sort of improved inventory management, which frees up cash flow. Two big changes to the new Omnia, if we want to call it that.
You're 100% correct. I think, you know, if we go back 10 years, you know, Omnia was broadly known as a fertilizer business, mm-hmm, and a business that was cyclical in terms of a long working capital cycle, you know, and moved with commodity prices. You know, we've demonstrated today very clearly how we have delivered in the business in a flat, low commodity cycle, a rising, a volatile rising one, a precipitous decline. And through all these different cycles, we've delivered good profits and good cash, you know, because often what you see is the company delivers good profits, but that profits doesn't really eventually land up in cash. So we've shown working capital management and cash management. You know, the correlation of thinking of us being a pure commodity company is probably broken a bit with the diversification benefits. And also what you see is the cyclicality we've changed by having lower working capital, better stock management. We show all of that. I think just coming back to the cash, which is your first point you made, we had a net cash position of 1.8 billion last year. We paid a dividend, and this year we generated 3 billion of cash. We invested 1 billion in our business for expansion and growth. And at year end, we had a 2.3 billion net balance, and we declare a R3.75 ordinary dividend, R3.25 special dividend. And we continue to buy back shares. I mean, that's a very strong position to be in with debt facilities in excess of 4 billion, you know, for expansion and to navigate headwinds that we might find.
It goes back to a, I don't want to say promise, let's say a commitment you'd made to shareholders a couple of years ago. If we go back to that rights issue in 2019, financial year 2020, you made a commitment a couple of years ago. You said, we're going to return that rights issue cash back to shareholders. My back of the envelope says you've done that plus more.
That's right. I think, Simon, you remember we went cap in hand to shareholders. Mm-hmm. You know, 4 years ago, we asked for 2 billion rand in rights issue, 100 million shares. And since then, you know, that was at 20 rand a share. Since then, you know, the share price has gone up to, you know, wherever it is now, let's say it's doubled, maybe tripled. But we've also returned 4 billion plus to shareholders, you know, more than 20 rand a share that we asked for. But having said that, you know, shareholders haven't just got their money back and more. You know, what they've got is a strong, strong balance sheet in this business and a business that is geared for global growth, you know, with some great global assets and joint ventures that are delivering profits that were not there previously. We're showing a chart in our results where we show a 23% CAGR growth in our international businesses, 31 in mining and 13 in agriculture. You know, a very different business to what it was previously.
And if we round it up, the shares just short of 60. So tripled your money plus got the dividends back. A quick last point. Towards the end of the presentation, you were talking around innovation. Now, there's a lot of innovation in Omnia. I mean, I imagine you were full of scientists and engineers and the like as well. But also, I mean, you were talking, measuring sap in an apple tree tells you the crunchiness, working with farmers and the like in terms of, you know, when to irrigate and the like. This is probably quite small in your life, but the modernization of farming, you know, tractors that drive themselves.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, what you're touching on is something that is incredibly important to us because, you know, being precise in farming, you know, using just the right amount of water, the right amount of nutrient, you know, enhancing crop yield and ensuring the sustainable health, not only of the crop, but also of the soil, you know, is critical for our planet and critical to feed, you know, our nations. So technology, innovation, data, analyzing big data and putting AI on top of that is what we do in our agri and our mining business. Our value propositions are all underpinned by innovation and technology. And we shared a few of that today around agri, as you've mentioned, but we have the same in mining. You know, we're able to do bigger blasts, more complex blasts. We're able to accurately predict fragmentation. You know, we're able to help mines work out what the pile would look like, whether it's a triangle or a rectangle, and impact the costs to move that. So, you know, we work hand in glove with our mines and our farmers to actually enhance their productivity and enhance their ESG targets and initiatives. And that's the great thing about our business. You know, our business is underpinned by ESG technology and innovation that stands loud in our purpose.
Yeah, and proof that ESG is also leads to profits. It's not just about doing good, it's also about making money. Seelan Gobalsamy, CEO of Omnia, appreciate the time today.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Zaf Mohammed, CFO at Oceana. Results for 6 months ending March saw revenue up 12.1%, HEPS up 84.6%, and the dividend up 50% at Rand 95. Zaf, appreciate time today. Daybrook, your US operations, the really big winner in these set of results. Fish oil prices rose, volumes doubled. What's the story over in the US? This was quite the boom.
Thank you. Good day to you and to your listeners. I think the best part of the performance is that we put ourselves in that position. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did benefit from the higher oil prices, and that's as a function of demand across the world for fish oil and quality fish oil. We'd spent quite a bit of capex over the past two seasons to put our factories in the best possible position to benefit from the upswing in the fish oil price. Aquaculture has been going at a faster rate than people anticipated. Mm-hmm. It's in fact, salmon aquaculture has now beaten normal growth of salmon. So I think from that point of view, is putting ourselves in that position. And the thing is, Simon, we're taking those lessons into South Africa now.
To stay with America quickly, have these fish oil prices held post-year-end? Because, of course, what you've had just over 2 months trading.
They've remained steady at around the year-end prices. As you know, we've started fishing now. The season started in April. So that season will continue until the end of October. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on what the fish oil price is going to do in the latter half of the season.
Okay. And how have catch rates been? As you say, starting in April, how's it been so far in those couple of months?
It's been slower than expected. There's been a bit of wind in the Gulf, which is unusual for this time of the year. And what happens when there's wind is the fish don't aggregate. So although we are catching fish, it's hard to catch them at the same time. So it does slow down fishing. So we've seen that. Peak season fishing is June, July. So we expect to see that pick up.
You mentioned that some of the lessons from Daybrook you're bringing back. I imagine one of those is around Lucky Star. I mean, you've opened an opening or an upgrade of the West Coast plant?
There's a variety of things going on in the West Coast. The first one is we've opened a meat canning plant, which is great for us. So we started production at the end of last year, and that's gone into full production, and we're into market early this year. So that's starting to take off quite well. So that's meat canning, and that will continue. That complements, obviously, our pilchard products in the Lucky Star space. We've got two factories on the West Coast, one in Lieplek and one in St. Helena Bay. The Lieplek facility, we've upgraded the fish meal plant there. There was extensive upgrades to the boilers, for example. We spent about $100 million on boilers in Lieplek, and we had to close the factory to make sure that we could get all the upgrades in. And so we're in phase one of that. And then St. Helena Bay, we spent money on the cannery. And so really, it's about making sure that when the fish are there, that we are able to run the plant and to run it as efficiently as possible. And part of that is to make sure, not only from a throughput point of view, but to get efficiencies and yields out of the product. Mm-hmm. So those are the lessons that we brought through from the US.
You're speaking around canned. You've also done it was post the period end, an acquisition on the East Coast this time, a 75% stake, canned chicken livers, squid. It's sort of growing into the canned protein operation. You obviously got the Lucky Star, which is a giant brand, but bringing in some new ones as well.
Well, Lucky Star is voted the number one iconic brand in South Africa from 28 million consumers or 28 million South Africans. I think that the Lucky Star brand is...
And a previous finance minister.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tito is a fan and we're appreciative. And I think the benefit for us is to extend the reach of the Lucky Star brand. You know, it's an iconic brand, as you know. And we've been selling chakalaka, we've been selling beans, and canned meat we used to have before, except it wasn't our own production. Now we've brought it in-house from a production point of view. So this is not our first foray outside of pilchards. What we see it as an extension of the brand. And chicken livers, for example, it's a great product. It's a cheaper protein than pilchards, for example. And I think that our quest for affordable protein, chicken livers fits right into that strategy.
Gotcha. Wild caught fishing, disappointing volumes. That was a ship out for repair, but good price. And again, strong demand, which is important.
You know, wild caught's had a terrible year. Catch rates have been poor. I think that we're not the only one in the industry that's struggled with catch rates. Yes, we've had breakdowns. You know, you've got to understand that when you get 15-year fishing rights, towards the tail end of that process, you tend to hold back on CapEx. And so you run the risk of breakdowns, for example. So what we did this time around was to make sure that once we had certainty around fishing rights, we spent the time and the money to get our factories upgraded, and you know, each vessel is a factory. So those vessels now will have much lower breakdowns, and when the fish are there, we'll be able to catch them.
Yeah, and I take your point. I've spoken to some of your peers in the industry, and our wild caught has been a challenge. We'll leave it there. Saif Mohamed, CFO Oceana, really appreciate the time today. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Lucky Star Pilchards. I mean, it is a staple, and I was amazed. It is the top brand in South Africa in the food space. Question is, do you eat them? Do you enjoy them? Or are they only for tweeting governors? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We were chatting with Nick Kunze yesterday around the Fashini Group results. That sent the whole sector moving higher on Friday, quite strongly so. We asked you, is there value in local clothing retailers? Over half of you said nope, consumers still struggling. A quarter was saying yes, plenty. The rest were saying it's about fair priced at current levels. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. Premier results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.